Okay, so I trust everybody is well. I'm in Belfast. Don't know why that's important, but it can. I remember a while ago, actually, when I was doing the podcast, and someone, this was not criticism by any means. It was like productive feedback, and they said, you know, you can't always assume that every time, you know, somebody listens to this podcast that they're gonna know where you are, what you're doing, what you're currently training for, like that kind of thing. And so on that note, I'm in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I'm training for Berlin. That has always been, you know, I made this like decision in January. Interesting enough, like this is not a marketing pitch by any means. But when I built the running school and stuff last October, November sort of time, the whole purpose and principles behind that was to basically put something in place that allowed me to obviously help people with their running and stuff, but probably more importantly to me, and I have no issue saying that, was to help support me financially in a means outside of running. So the reason that was important is because I basically was sitting there like, this is a very interesting to me. It felt like that scene out of the Matrix where it's like, you know, red pill, blue pill. Take the red pill, you enter the Matrix, that's it, you're part of the Matrix. Take the blue pill and you go home, you forget this ever happened. I didn't feel like I could make that choice with running, because it's very difficult to make a choice like that if one door or one pill is, you know, walk out it and you still have a job and you still have a means of income. The other door or pill, walk through it and you have nothing, you know, no income, no job. So yeah, so I obviously put a lot of time and effort into that. And then I'm glad I wasn't sort of training at the time, because that did take a lot of time and effort. And I couldn't have done it as thoroughly as I did, and obviously I did a lot of this myself, it would have been very difficult to do that with the stress and pressure of like training alongside it. So that brings me to then January, I decided that's it, I'm going to make this like another bloody comeback. But no, it was just like, let's get back into training. Let's, you know, let's see if we can get things moving again in like a positive direction. And that then, you know, came probably to, I think it was like March, April, and it was like, okay, well, things are starting to get a little bit better. And so maybe we could, you know, even think about entering like a marathon. And then Berlin became like a good target for me, because I went there last year, that was 2022. God, I forget the days. I'm definitely not going to get the years right. Today is Sunday. But yeah, look, that brought me to entering Berlin, and now we're, God, like, so if to think about it, this is kind of going to come to something not important, but important for you. But to think that since January, I've been slowly training in a way to put myself in a position to hopefully stand on a start line with some confidence that, you know, I could race well at the marathon. It's kind of crazy. What's the craziest part about like being human, you could say, or being an athlete, is this like self-doubt element where, you know, you forget so quickly that like, and I'm gonna, you know, talk in first person here, but it's like, kid, you've been training for this since January, and like you're holding like yourself accountable to, you know, some of these best athletes in the world. And so when you're not happy about how something went, it's not that it didn't go well, it's that you're comparing that to, you know, some of the best athletes in the world. And so sometimes that's an unfair comparison, because everything should always be, where is it now? Where was it yesterday? Where was it the day before that? Where was it in January? And that should be the kind of positive light that you should spin on these situations. Like, are you moving forward compared to yesterday? Because that's all you could really do. Or are you doing everything today to help you be better than yesterday? And that's sort of a much simpler way to look at it. And so, yeah, that's where we're at. I had probably my, I think it was probably like the last long run yesterday. So that was like, and I fueled it. So I've been doing pretty much a long run once a week. Sometimes they're in like this like progressive fashion. So it's kind of like a little bit easy, like a little bit like getting the body warmed up, letting the body sort of like get into the long run. I always say you wake up out of bed, you likely walk downstairs, you likely, you know, make a coffee or have a glass of water. You should definitely have the glass of water. I still haven't, and I've been awake an hour, which is terrible because it's 9:56, which means I got up at like 8. I think I got up at 8:30. No, 8:45, and then I'd already missed part of the big half. And so you should have the glass of water, and then you start, you know, getting yourself organized and go to the bathroom like you gotta do. But then most of the time it's like, then we just go out the door and start. And so you should have like maybe a little bit of like an activation routine before you leave the house, which just helps your muscles switch on a little bit. It also makes you aware of like where the body's at. And I think that's sometimes the most important part, where awareness, anytime I did yoga, and I should do more yoga. But anyway, you do yoga and you kind of like get into some of the poses, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, that hamstring's a little bit tight. And then you go, ooh, that quad's a bit tired. But if you're just sitting on the couch drinking your coffee, you've had your glass of water, and then you go out the door, you don't really know. And then suddenly, you know, 3 mile, 4 mile into the run, your hamstring starts cramping up a little bit. And had you done something in the house, A, it might have switched those muscles on, but it might have let you make a decision about the speeds or maybe where you run that day because of that sort of like pain or like tiredness or tightness. So I do that little bit of a warm up, and then I usually either get into some form of progression, which usually starts around kind of like my steady pace, which is probably like 5:45 at the moment. That's what it's been. And that kind of puts my heart rate around like 150, that kind of area, which normally when I race a marathon, it's like 170. And so I still have quite a, what I would call it is like a quite a long leash, and you kind of still want that like long leash is what I would say. And long leash means freedom and space and room for, if you need to increase the effort, there's still like heart rate there to do it. I mean, if your marathon heart rate's like 165, and you know, at the start of your long run, or maybe like after that little bit of a warm up, you're already at like, you know, 160, 161. Well, you don't really have a long leash there. You have like 4 beats to play with, and you know, it's probably going to increase 4 beats just over time because of heat and tiredness and stuff like that. So you kind of work your way into it, and then usually after like, I don't know, usually like 5K, 10K, I'll pick it up a little bit. And what I really aim to do is just work it down to the point that I'm probably at marathon effort. It might not reflect marathon pace, but that's kind of what I've been doing. Or I do sometimes the opposite, where I sort of like do a little bit of a warm up. It's not the opposite, it's just different. A little bit of a warm up, 5K, 3K, 5K. Get into some like steadier running, and then I'll do like reps, and again they're around about marathon effort, but not necessarily pace. Pace is, hopefully it's marathon pace, but pace will be dictated heavily by, you know, perhaps what you did the previous day. And so before some of the long runs, I've actually gone out and trained, you know, pretty hard the previous day, and that's like, hopefully it's I'm going to say reckless, but it's not. There's theory, but it is difficult on the body. It's demanding is what I would say. Less reckless, more demanding. So if you're an injury prone athlete, it's perhaps not the way to do it for you. And so what I'm really doing there is you're depleting the glycogen quite a lot, and then you're going to go out the next day, and with this sort of like glycogen depleted, you're going to do like a fairly hard, solid run, which is, you know, further depleting the glycogen, which is carbohydrate energy. And then you're going to run on pretty tired and pretty empty legs, feeling, whatever you want to call it. So that's generally speaking how I've been doing some of those sort of like long runs. And so yesterday was a long run. You know, I fueled during it. So I had, I'm doing like my morning stretch. Like when you, it's not really a yawn, but it's like, I was doing that. But yeah, yesterday I probably had like, I still don't think like I'm fueling enough. So like it's easier not to fuel because when you're running, it's just easier to just concentrate on the running. But I have to remind myself like every sort of like 2-3 mile, it's like, all right, get some fluid into you. So I think in like 1 hour 40 minutes, it was like 30K. I think I had 80, 160, 80 plus 40, 120 grams. And so that's right around sort of like that, like 80 grams an hour. But actually, I think the body can do like 100 grams an hour from what they've sort of came out with lately and, you know, research and what cyclists are doing. And again, that's an ability you can train. You can sort of like get the body to be capable of handling a bit more. The reason we, you know, I wear this like Moxie sensor quite a bit. I mean, like every day almost. And so the reason I've realized that we like not fueling is because actually when you fuel, you're kind of holding your breath. So it's always important to try to, if you're taking fluids in the your mouth, like you breathe through your nose while you're doing that. And what's interesting is the Moxie sensor kind of goes down when you're fueling. So going down is a sign of you're working harder. And so fueling is definitely taking oxygen away from the body because of like breathing rate will slow. But also like perhaps your body's then sending energy to digest the food. And so on that note, what I'd probably say is try to fuel on the easiest parts of the marathon course. So that could be like a downhill section, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's kind of counterproductive to what the science will say around glucose and stuff, because they sort of say like fuel when there's a demand, because then the body will like, you know, take it on board. But in actual practical terms, having used the Moxie, like I wouldn't do that, because I'd kind of want to do it where I know that like the Moxie number, like the saturation has gone up. And because it's gone up, it's sort of bought you like a little bit of flexibility where if you want to drink and take on your fuel, you have room for it to go down without it sort of causing chaos to, you know, going too low and moving into a different like energy system. So practicing all sort of like different bits. So that was kind of like a bit of fuel. And look, it went well. I'm just like a bit of a, like, forgive me, but I'm a bit of a prick. Just like athletes are just kind of like annoying. Like I'm just like never happy. It's kind of like you've just done like 30K and you know, you're running like the last bit of it, like at like 5 minute mile pace. And like, and it's not being a prick. It's just that like, I just appreciate that this event is like 26 miles. And so yeah, you did 2K at 5 minute mile pace. Like, you know, you have another, whatever it is, 40K to go. I'm just aware that race day is different. You know, it just demands more. And so what I've done is like, I had to go to London, you know, I had to pick up a few things and I did a little bit of training in the park. And it made me realize that the route at home, which is Victoria Park, if you've ever ran around Victoria Park, you'll appreciate it's just, I already know it's on the GPS, it comes up a bit short. And so naturally it makes you feel like you're running a bit faster than you are. Sorry if you didn't know that, because, well, no, you should just know, because like, it's kind of like, it's 1660 meters. It's been measured by a course measurer in Belfast. I asked him, he measures the courses and stuff. And so normally I can tell by like lap time what speed I'm actually running, not lap pace. And so it's usually like 2 to 3 seconds per K slow, which is like, I think about 4 or 5 seconds a mile. And so if it's telling you you're running at like 6 minute mile pace, you're probably actually like 6:05. And I don't know if that's then like a percentage thing. So as you get a little bit slower, like 7 minute mile pace, it might actually be like 7:07, etc. But anyway, like even though I know that, and even though like I do the conversion, what I'm telling you next is it's just too easy. It's just in 2020 when I ran really well, I'd have runs and sessions where I wouldn't be in race day shoes. And to be fair, when I'm doing these long runs, I still wear like a upgraded shoe because it does beat the legs up a bit less, which I actually don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It will save the legs a bit of pounding, but sometimes you want to beat the legs up because then they adapt and get stronger and move forward. So I do wear a faster shoe than easy running day shoe, but I don't wear the shoe that I'll race the race in. It's a newer version, you could say. So like, it's definitely a bit faster. But in 2020, I would do some runs in like some of these long runs where I'd run fast and hard. Like I'd be doing them in like my everyday running shoe. And so I'd finish and I'd look at the splits, you know, like it doesn't really matter. It's not, you know, 20 miles, 5:20 per mile, 3:20 per K. And you're kind of looking at it and you're like, okay, well, you know, let's look at race day. Okay, race day, you're going to have nice tarmac, you know, nice, hard, compact road, fast. You're going to have faster shoes and it's not going to be 6,000 feet of altitude, right? And you're kind of like, okay, well, logically, yeah, I should be able to go faster. You'd think, you'd hope. But when I'm kind of like, what have I kind of realized about Victoria Park, only because I went over to London and did like a little bit of training there, it's kind of like, you're kind of going to finish in Victoria Park and you're kind of going to be like, okay, not only is the loop telling me I'm faster than I am, I'm wearing faster shoes, and it's likely that Victoria Park is actually probably faster than most marathon courses, because let's be honest, it's a pancake flat, 1 mile loop, sheltered, you know, away from everything, distractions, etc., etc. No corners, no tight turns, no, you know, 90 degree bends. Yeah, it's a bit too easy, isn't it? And so I'm kind of glad that I went then to London, because it made me sort of like just see like, okay, like you don't have to hide from it totally, but like, just don't be afraid to not go into the park. And so naturally yesterday I only went in the park at the very end because I miscounted the 2Ks. And so I don't know why I thought 4. And then I kind of like looked at my watch and I was like, I'm only on 20. I think this was like midway through the fourth one. And I was like, I'm only on like 25K. Like that doesn't add up. It's supposed to be 30. And then I realized like, all right, I have another one. And so I didn't want to do any in the park because I'm so like all or nothing. Once I decide like, okay, the park's a bit too easy, like I just don't, I like choose not to go in there. The reason I normally go in the park is because I don't normally have like bike support and help. And so like, it just helps to have, you know, my drinks sitting somewhere that I can naturally just pick them up and even carry them for a lap and then set them down, et cetera, et cetera. Which is fair. So yesterday I had bike support so I could go anywhere, but I went in the park at the very end because my Garmin actually died. And because it died, I knew this guy, Chris, who's been helping me, you know, with like some filming and like bike support. And he then had a watch. And so I knew if we go in the park, he could time the last rep, because I know the loop is 1,660 meters. And so I think it was like 5:15 on the watch, which I think if you do the maths is like 5:05 per mile, something like that. But it allowed me to control the last rep, even though I didn't have a Garmin, but I knew we had a stopwatch. And so I'm not saying loops aren't useful. They are. Just tread carefully when sometimes it's worth doing things in training that is actually like, this is like going to be my final like point of today. Sometimes it's worth, no matter what it says for physiology, no matter what it does for your physiology, sometimes it's just worth doing hard things in training that then makes race day like honestly easier. And so if you're not doing anything in training that replicates that like feeling on race day, or naturally is harder. And so like what I'm thinking in my head right now, for example, is like where I live, I could, you know, go out my front door and within, you know, 30-40 meters of my front door, I could turn right. And I think I can run uphill for the best part of like 2 mile, which would take me to the top of Cave Hill in Belfast. And that's the kind of thing that like gives me anxiety. Like, I'm not joking. Even the thought of that right now, I'm like, I could not think of anything worse. And I start to feel that in my chest. I feel that in my like my breathing, and it just makes me feel uncomfortable. And so that's kind of like that's exactly what you should like then do. You should like walk out your front door and be like, here I go. And away you go. Just run uphill for whatever length of time it takes you to get to the top. And yeah, do that. And it's kind of like that, like do hard things. And the more you do that, the easier race day becomes, because you've exposed yourself to like just naturally, like I've done all this training that is so important to do, you know, all this like low lactate stuff and threshold and really trying to improve these numbers. And, you know, in a way it's the key to being better. But let me intervene by saying the only times I've ran really well in my career is when I was willing to hurt and suffer. And that's kind of the part that most of us, it doesn't come natural. And so I'm not a natural suffering person. You know, like I literally, even the way I've got this, excuse my language, but fucking mic set up, like I'm so high maintenance. The mic is set up lovely, set up on a nice little tripod. You know, it's got a little grip thing so I can just sit here at my leisure on the sofa. And, you know, I'm just, yeah, that's like high maintenance. And so I feel like if you're quite a high maintenance person, which means like, oh, I like to sleep at this temperature, or oh, no, I like my eggs like this, or oh, no, that needs to be like that. It likely means that suffering and just kind of getting on with it doesn't really come natural to you. Now, that said, once I expose myself to it, if I were to go out like right this second, which I'm not because, you know, I've trained hard, but if I were to go out right this second and hammer up that hill, God, it would really expose some weaknesses. And I'd be really having to ask the question psychologically, like, A, why are you doing this? Like, we could just go home and relax. And B, like, wow. But then see, once I'd get to the top of the hill, I'd be like, yes, well done. And then like, if I did it again, I'd be like, this isn't as bad as the first time. And then see, come like the third, fourth time, I'd be like, I like this. And then not only would I be like, I like this, I'd be like, yeah, I'm fucking good at this. And that's the real interesting thing. Like, but that's all psychology. Like sometimes the physiology was already there. Like the fitness was already there. And that's why like, it'll sometimes be hard for coaches to totally understand that. It's like you have the physiology, so I don't get it. And then it's kind of like, well, yeah, but that's like the physiology and the science, it will get you, it'll get you good results. It'll get you like, but the athlete that's going to ultimately win is, there's an athlete running along beside you. Maybe your lactate's 2, maybe theirs is 4, and let's pretend that you actually have the ability to run at the same lactate for the same length of time. Very rare, but let's just pretend. The athlete that will win that race is the athlete that's willing to suffer more, longer. And that, you know, comes back to that. I think I told you the quote in, I think it's the movie like Bogacha or Gacha or something. I don't really know. Bogacha. The twin brothers, and they're swimming, and the race is who turns back first, and they just swim out in the one direction, and the one brother, you know, stops and has a hissy fit in the water. And how do you always win? What's the secret? And he says, your problem is that you always save something for the way back, you know? And that's kind of the feeling I get around that like we're always trying to be comfortable, stay comfortable, we're always saving something. And so naturally, all this training has been brilliant. It's got me to likely the best place I've ever been. And I know I've built that I want to qualify for the Olympics. I didn't necessarily say when, you know, and Berlin's just the next step. And so the way everyone, not everyone, but the way some people think and behave, it reminds me of like a gym coach. And like, gym coaches are like, in my opinion, like easily excitable. And so whenever I'm in the gym and naturally, cause I'm strong and for a runner, you know, I played rugby and I can bounce around a bit. I'm good with plyometrics, but naturally like gym coaches then get excited and it's like more, 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 heavier, heavier, heavier. And, And I'm like, here we go again. And I feel like that's the people that have followed and comment, you know, it's like, you know, I raced like a road relay. I did like the Morton Games 5K. And then it's like the expectation moves to like, okay, nice. Now he's going to go run 208 at Berlin. And it's like, come on, like this is a process. And so naturally, like I've done what I believe is everything I can from physiological side of things to get the fitness, the place to handle that. And what does that mean? That means that you've moved the speed at like marathon effort as quick as you possibly could get it based on the knowledge you have of how to train, how to improve speed at marathon effort, you could say. But this isn't like, there's no simple science to this. You don't pick marathon pace. You earn it with like hard work. And so I've done, you know, likely everything as far as I was willing to, you know, move that forward. But it doesn't mean that it's 208. You know, like if I just ran, you know, when I ran 61.08, I still only ran 209. And so I haven't even done a half marathon. And I can tell you that right now I'm not in 61 minute shape. Like there's no way. Like now I know I've, the recipe for 61.08 was different. You know, I pushed hard once a week and that wasn't planned. That was just how the training went. I was up a mountain, you know, I was training with guys that were better than me. So to keep up, I had to work really hard. And so when I'm talking about like that run uphill, honestly, that was nearly every session that year or that sort of like period of time, like 5-6 weeks, because I had to almost really prep psychologically every time that I would go to the track, because I'd be like, I have no idea what I'm in for here, but I'm ready. Let's do this. And so that was kind of like different, but I try not to speak negatively or like super positively. It's just kind of like I try to just live in facts. And the fact is that, like, honestly, I think if I was to run a half marathon now, it's kind of a bit like the 5K. I think if I was to run a half marathon right now, I'd be looking at 62:45 to like 63:30, right? And I don't know where in that area I'd fall. Now, they don't sound amazing because I've ran 61 minutes, but it's actually like it's still like 4:48 maybe to like 4:52 per mile. It's still not fucking around. And the reason I don't know where I'd fall is because like I haven't done a lot of work at those paces. I've tried to do a bit more lately because I noticed that I thought there was kind of like a gap there. And it was kind of like, okay, well, you've done an amazing job to move these thresholds along, but maybe we've neglected like, yeah, like 4:40 pace. Maybe we've neglected like 4:45. And a lot of that stuff, I think it helps my psychology. I reckon it really, of course it helps the physiology, but I think it's the training that seems to help me the most from a make and run and feel easier perspective, which is always a good thing, is kind of when I'm made to work a bit. And it's kind of like I'm kind of running at an intensity that I don't love, but I know I can keep going if I'm willing to. And that means if I'm willing to like hurt a bit. And for whatever reason, you know, I just seem to respond well to that. You know, when I did Rotterdam Marathon, I went to London, I think with like 4 weeks to go. You know, I think I had been doing all this training around Victoria Park, of course. And I went to London, I jumped in some tempo training with like my friend Jack, who literally just ran 61.07. I think like a second quicker than my PB. Maybe I'll get Jack to do a podcast and he'll tell you how to be a good runner. You know, he's still a 61 minute runner, so maybe he should take over here. But no, like it. I will get Jack on the podcast. That's a good idea. I think we've spoke about it for a while, but we're both a bit useless. But you know, we would do tempo stuff and we'd be pushing and I'd look down, I'd look at the heart rate. I'd be like, wow, like I should feel better than I do. Like my heart rate's not even that high. And then like, I would train that ability over like a week or two, like probably like three weeks time. So we would do like, I think we did like 5 or 6 miles, and it was like 5 minute mile pace and like 307 per K. And I remember thinking like, God, like, fuck me, I'm in trouble. And I'd done all this threshold stuff, all these double threshold days and all this kind of stuff. And but then suddenly when I did something a bit longer and it was in a non like perfect environment, but so you've got corners, you've got people, you've dogs, you've gravel path, you've a wet gravel path, slippy, blah blah blah. I was like, didn't love that. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, so like 14 days later, which is like the third time we did it, we'd have done like 7 miles. And suddenly in the first few miles, I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good here. And then like mile five, mile six, I'm like, yeah, let's open this up a little bit. And suddenly I'm running at a heart rate that's like 10 beats higher. So speed is like now 440 pace in the last mile or two, not the first couple of mile. There's still like 5 minutes. And all of a sudden I'm like, nice. I've got that back. I've got that ability back to, forgive me, I need a burp. It's kind of like I've got that ability back to work at an effort that used to feel hard, now feels good. An effort that I could even barely get to. So the physiology was kind of already there, because you can't develop that in 2 weeks, but you can get the psychology around the fact that you can push harder. And the only way to do that is to expose yourself to that kind of like intensity. And so, look, that's all I've got for you. I find that works really well for me. Don't neglect the fact that you do need to move your physiology forward using all the threshold stuff and all that, really important stuff. But just also don't forget that, like, you can have a much, much, much faster threshold than another athlete. But if they've been working on that ability to push and really push and dig deep, well, then they might beat you. And you can check lactates at the end all you fucking want, but the athlete that crossed the line first will they get the victory? There's no asterisks for what was your lactate. How comfortable did you feel out of 10? And so, yeah, bear that in mind. It's always important. And that's where, yeah, science meets practical, actually being out there, actually working, actually wanting something. I finished that session that I did in London. And this is kind of a nice ending, I think, but I did that session and I was going to like jump on a plane and go up to Font-Rémy, and I just don't think that was the right answer. Like, honestly, logically speaking, with like 3 weeks to go, when possibly I was tired from all the stupid gardening and stuff, and I'm going to say stupid, that's not fair. It was actually like really good for me. Like really good for me. Like, I think it helped distract me and really help psychologically. And so I don't know why I said stupid gardening, but stupid gardening, because if I was to joke and say like, what would Kipchoge do? Like, come on, Kipchoge ain't out in the garden. He is, but he's sitting on a seat with a cup of tea. He ain't building sheds and saunas, and the sauna's kind of working. Like, I did have to like wire it properly, which, you probably, if you're an electrician or you know anything about it, you're probably gonna like cringe at the thought of me doing all this. But I do watch a lot of stuff and read a lot of stuff, and my dad gives a big input. But yeah, like, let's move on from that. That's not important. It was a lot of work. Anyway, I'm finishing this session, and it didn't really go that well. And it just exposed me to the weakness that I knew was kind of there. And to be fair, I did dig in a bit. Like, whenever it got hard, I did hustle as much as I sort of could on the day. And I got back to like where I lived, like the room, and it's just like something clicked where it just went like, all right, I'm like, it's gonna sound so harsh because you're listening and I've just told you all these speeds, and I just got back and went, I'm fed up not being pretty much as good as what I was, right? And the actual thought was, I'm fucking fed up being shit. And I'm not shit. And I there's an emotional chimp response to that. But I just know where it can be with me. And this is always about you. Don't listen to, oh my God, he thinks he's shit and he's running at this speed. It's just be fed up that you're not where you know you can be. It's that simple. Forget speed. And so I was just fed up that it wasn't where I know it can be. And I just went, you keep looking for these easy ways to get things done. And this is so relevant to all this fucking work I was doing in the shed. You can't build these things easily. You can't fit pipes on when you're doing the ice bath and you're trying to get fittings to fit that weren't made to fit together because you're doing it DIY. You're trying to get tubes to fit on to connections that aren't supposed to fit. I don't know why when I'm doing shit like that, I will fucking bust my balls. I've literally swollen fingers everywhere for the sheer hard work of forcing things to fit. You will fit. And you could only picture me in that back garden, and I get so angry, and I'm literally making things fit with sheer hard work. Like, honestly, sheer hard work. You should see me. I'm like a maniac. And yet in running, I wanted to fit all this together in this perfect, precise, and I call it like cute way. Oh, look at this lactate. Oh, look at that. And it's like sometimes to get it back to where it's been, you have to want it, which was that hasn't happened in a while, where I've came home and I've digested and I've been like, I'm fed up with this. And it's not fed up with running. It's like I'm fed up trying to live in this dream world that this will just click and come together with all this like fancy, like low end stuff and easy stuff. And sometimes you just have to hurt, you know, and sometimes you just have to be willing to suffer. And I'm talking 10% of the time. So that's 1 in 10 days. You know, I'm not talking all the time, but I got to a place where, you know, today, like I've literally trained hard. But I've got to the place now where I'm like, yeah, I could go do some like 2Ks at threshold today. And it's just because it's easy. But if someone said, nah, you don't have to do it. Tell you what, they say, you don't have to do a session for 5 days. If you're willing to run up that hill, back down, run up that hill, back down, run up that hill, back down 3 times as hard as you can. Then you can take 10 days off. And I'd be like, nah, I'll just do the threshold today. I could do it tomorrow, do it the next day. And that tells you something. It's easy to just sink back into what's comfortable. And I got home to that little apartment, that little room. I call it an apartment. That's a, have a laugh. This is London. Anyway, I get back and I just sat there and I just went, I'm fed up with this. And I was like, I want it back. And the way to get it back is to want it. You have to decide, that's it. I want this. I want this more than I want to work in the back garden. I want this more than I want to, you know, travel around and wing it. I want this more than all the other stuff. And so I'm willing to do what it takes. And then when you make that decision, then live by that. Get out there and work hard and do what you know has to be done. Even if you don't like it, it'll get better. And that's it. I kind of made that choice. And look, Berlin, like, I just need a result to go well. Well is quite a range. Like, of course, I'd be so excited if I was able to run super fast and super well. But, you know, bear in mind that, like, times like 2:13, 2:12, 2:11, you know, they're still super fast. They're not 2:09. But, like, I don't know yet what I'm capable of. I'll know as I start to freshen up a little bit. Like I think I can do like that, like 6 times 2K sort of like test where it kind of gives you an idea of, you know, roughly maybe where you might be able to handle on race day, like roughly what pace. But, you know, it's only rough and it really gives you just a guide. But I'll just have to accept it. And I just need a positive experience and a good start to finish. And I don't know what time that will be, but this is like a promise that I'll qualify for the Olympics, you know? And I didn't necessarily specify when. Berlin was like the first stop in the calendar of just, hey, let's get a marathon in the calendar and let's go have a good experience. I dropped out of Berlin last time I was there, so, you know, let's go finish and let's see what time that puts on the board. And that's all you can do. So I guess it's a calm down, you know, don't, I think when people start saying 208 and stuff like this, and like, you're going to go smash it and you're going to go run like 208, it's like, it, if anything, it probably puts me off. I like that people like believe in what I'm doing, and I think that's really important, but I don't think we fully respect and understand what it takes to achieve something like that. And sometimes it's just cheek and tongue. Sometimes it's just a statement, and it's probably meant to encourage, but sometimes it can make things feel overwhelming. And that's like, if I was your coach and like you were in like, I don't know, 75 minute shape for half marathon, maybe 80. And I was like, oh yeah, you're going to smash it. You know, I really can't wait to see you run like 72. And I kept saying that to you, you'd probably be like, all right, either he's lost his fucking marbles, because when I'm out there running at 72 minute pace, I'm flat out and I can't see it for a half marathon. Or you'd, you know, literally be almost the opposite and be like put off. You'd be like, oh, he's only going to be happy if I run this. He's only going to be content if I run this. So I think sometimes putting yourself out there is like a great thing, and you know, it can help people and inspire people, but it also raises the expectations of yourself and others. And so, yeah, that's like the psychology in your own head. If people around you are, you know, given input or whatever, the psychology in your head has to say, I just want the positive result. And whatever that is, I'll be happy with that. And you have to talk to yourself in that way. So the next few weeks, the first person to mention 208, I'm going to block them. I'm just kidding. I'm not. But it was me said, I think I can run 208. But again, I didn't necessarily say where or when. I know I can because of how I felt the day of Larne. Sorry. I know my body was capable at one moment in time, and hopefully it will again. But I can't really predict that. I just have to hope, you know, and that's sometimes all we have. And then not neglect the fact that sometimes I know where to earn that fitness. And I really mean earn that fitness. And I earned that fitness up the mountain in Font. But it's a bit too late for that. Berlin's, it's literally like 2.5 weeks away. Or, you know, sorry, it's 3 weeks today. It's too late to run up a mountain and earn the fitness for Berlin. I did do St. Moritz, so I'm not going to be too hard on myself. And like I said, this is like a stepping stone. But I'm trying to be logical and not just like I said, like rush up a mountain because of, you know, feeling that that's maybe where I earn that fitness. But the mountain's not going anywhere, and there's marathons next year. And I the promise is that I will do everything that I can to make that Olympics based on what I'm willing. You know, I can't make promises beyond that. And I truthfully believe I can do it. And that's very important. And I really do believe it. And so, yeah, fingers crossed. But yeah, that's all I got for today. So hope you enjoyed that, and you know, take care.